athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Four-man rush, flag is down, Hoyt's in the backfield, Minshew makes a miss, now versus there, the throw is intercepted left sideline at the 47 of Las Vegas. Kobe Durant takes it away.
That audio was courtesy of ESPN Radio 710 AM in LA. Former HBCU All-American and South Carolina State Bulldog Kobe Durant. Not only that interception, he also had a strip fumble in the game that resulted in a scoop and score as the Rams defeated the Raiders 20-15. Welcome to another edition of Box to Row. I am your host, Donald Ware. Now, I gotta say this, Box to Row is now an international radio show. So, of course, we have all of our fantastic affiliates around the country that carry the program, as well as Sirius XM as well. But now, Box to Row airing in Bermuda on Hot 107.5 FM in Bermuda. And I got to tell the story. So, went to Bermuda for my 50th birthday in August, right? And we had a wonderful time. Went on a cruise, as a matter of fact, and the cruise was docked in Bermuda for basically 2.5 days. So we decided to go downtown Bermuda, and in doing so, I said, I'm going to, you know, we'd been talking to Hot 107.5 for a little while, for a couple of months now. So I said, I'm going to go to the radio station and pay the radio station a visit. My wife says, you can't just walk into the radio station. And that's precisely what we did, had a good conversation. And a couple of months later, Box to Row airing in Bermuda on 107.5 FM. And for those listeners, they're in Bermuda on Hot 107.5 FM. Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. So we've got a lot to get to on today's program. Our guest today here on Box to Row, Duke head football coach Manny Diaz, going to join us on the program. The Blue Devils are 6-1 on the season, already bowl eligible. And the last time we talked with Manny Diaz was going back 3 years ago, which turned out to be his last year when he was the head football coach at Miami. But he has really come in and jolted. The Duke program was in a good place, no doubt about it. But now he's sort of taken it to the next level. Big wins over UNC at the time, you know, over Florida State. Now, I realize Florida State is down, but when you think about Duke playing Florida State, Duke it just has not been. I mean, matter of fact, it's the first time ever Florida is, at least in eight, in when the two teams are in the ACC, that Duke takes down Florida State. So you're talking about some really big wins. And everywhere that Manny Diaz has gone from a defensive perspective, whether he's been an assistant coach in terms of a position coach or the coordinator, defensive coordinator at a respective program, those programs are in the tops in the nation. And Duke is no exception. You look at some of the numbers, top 25 in terms of total defense, top 20 in some of the other defensive categories. So Very glad to welcome Manny Diaz, the head football coach of the Duke Blue Devils today here on Box to Row. You know, week 9 in HBCU football has some really big games, as a matter of fact. And to look at week 9, you kind of got to go back to week 8 a little bit. Look, Winston-Salem State, you've got, when you look at the CIAA right now, you've got four teams that are in contention for the CIAA championship. Johnson C. Smith is the only undefeated team in HBCU football, passed another test on last week, and so is 7-0 on the season, 4-0 in conference play. And Virginia Union, by the way, is also 4-0 in conference play. Winston-Salem State is 4-1. Virginia State is 3-1. So those are your top four teams right now that are in contention for the to play in the CIAA championship game. On the outside, looking in right now, Livingstone, who fell to Winston-Salem State on last week, and Fayetteville State, who has played in so many straight CIAA championship games, did win a CIAA championship game going back a couple of years ago now. But it's a big game. Johnson C. Smith is going to be at Winston-Salem State. Now, this is a very, very good Winston-Salem State football team. It's a Winston-Salem State team whose only two losses are to FBS opponent A&T, North Carolina A&T, and that game was in overtime, and then also to Virginia Union, ironically, who is the other team that is in contention. So you have a couple of different scenarios here. And by the way, you know, I would mention that when you're talking about Johnson C. Smith, again, Johnson C. Smith and Winston-Salem State going to play on Saturday. Johnson C. Smith still has Fayetteville State, which is going to be a tough game, and still has Livingstone, who's going to, I think, going to give a good fight to Johnson C. Smith with both of those. That's a rivalry game, both of those teams. You talk about Johnson C. Smith in Charlotte, and you talk about Livingstone right up the road in Salisbury, North Carolina as well. But then I look at Virginia Union and looking at the rest of Winston-Salem State's schedule, because obviously a loss by Winston-Salem State to Johnson C. Smith, and I think that Winston is out of it, because remember, Virginia Union, and if Virginia Union wins its remaining games, or at least two of the last three games, which it should, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, Union would have the head-to-head tiebreaker against Winston-Salem State. Now, Winston still has Johnson C. Smith and Fayetteville State remaining. I mean, you got to know that you talk about rivalry games, that's going to be a good football game between those two teams. And look, what Fayetteville State is saying right now is we're not out of this thing. We're not out of this thing at all. And so, you know, that being said, and by the way, Winston does have a bye week after this week leading into the game against Fayetteville State. So some good things really coming down the pike. We're going to take a look at what that SIAC race looks like. Also, what that SWAC race looks like as well. And then, you know, I mentioned Virginia Union. I mean, look, Union on Saturday is going to be at Bowie State. Now, you know, Union can't afford to get tripped up. We've seen Union get tripped up in years past when it looked like Union may take the title. Remember, a couple of years, Virginia Union went back-to-back 8-2 seasons, did not participate in the CIAA championship game. So you don't want to get tripped up. I think that's a trap game at Bowie State. Then the following week, and look, even if Union loses that game, it can win its next two and still be in the CIAA championship game. Going to be on November the 2nd, going to host Bluefield State. I mean, anything can happen, but that's not going to happen. Virginia Union is going to beat Bluefield State. And then the showdown against Virginia State in that big rivalry game is going to end the season. Virginia Union and Virginia State going to end the season at Virginia Union. That game's going to be in Richmond. Meanwhile, Virginia State is at Bluefield State Saturday. That should be a win for Virginia State. Lincoln's not playing well. I thought Lincoln would be much more competitive. Lincoln of Pennsylvania not playing well at all. So I think that's going to be a win for Virginia State as well. So it looks like Virginia State, Virginia Union, that's going to come down to deciding who, in fact, is going to play in the CIAA championship game against. I think it's going to, again, I think Johnson C. Smith, you know, when, but Johnson C. Smith got a tough road. Again, Winston-Salem State on Saturday, and then still has to play Fayetteville State, who, you know, the Broncos aren't happy with where they are right now. And that's back-to-back games, and not to mention to end the game or end the season at Livingstone. So a lot still to be played in the CIAA. I look at some of the games from last week, and even in the SWAC, when I look at the SWAC, you know, really a nice win. Southern had a really nice win over Alcorn State. And so Southern remains undefeated in SWAC play. Meanwhile, has given Alcorn State its first loss. So if Southern wins out, then Southern would win that Western Division. But it's still a lot of games remaining in the SWAC. And then you also look, boy, what a game last week between Jackson State and Florida A&M. And while the score was 35-21, Jackson State with the victory, the game was closer than the score indicated. And so Jackson State remains undefeated in the SWAC and in Eastern Division play. And I think this season, it's there for the taking, I think, for Jackson State. But a lot of games left to play. So we're going to talk about we've talked a little bit about the SWAC. I want to talk about the Western Division. We're going to talk about the SIAC as well. MEAC play really begins this weekend, as a matter of fact. So a lot of football left to be played. And we're going to take a look at some of the games in terms of Week 9 in HBCU football. Still to come here on the program, we've got some National Football League talk. We had a big trade that we're going to talk about. Plus, Manny Diaz, the head football coach at Duke, still to come. Keep it locked.
VoxJarreau.com is your source for conversations with and content on some of the biggest names in sports, HBCU sports, and entertainment. VoxJarreau.com.
Home sales are down 31% across America, and mortgage rates are on the rise. If your home is not selling, you need to call our experts right now at the Quick Cash Hotline. We have investors ready to pay you cash for your property, regardless of the condition it's in. Most of our closings can happen in about 7 days. You don't have to worry about a buyer getting approved. You don't have to worry about showing your home. One simple call right now. Just pick up the phone and call us. I'll give you the number in a second. We will negotiate with you a price to buy your home. It's that simple. If you're ready to sell your home right now, any home, any condition, and you don't want to put money into it, no problem. We'll buy it from you. Call right now. It's a free call.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Eddie George, in his fourth season as the head football coach at Tennessee State. I think it's interesting, the analogy. Did you just smoke a pork butt or something? You said 2 days. Were you on the smoker, Coach George?
I gave you this is part of my process when I brine my turkeys. You know, Thanksgiving's right around the corner. So, you know, I'm thinking about brining my turkeys and injecting them with an injectable marinade that I make myself, the marinade. And, you know, that's a 72-hour process, you know.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row. To
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Turn your lights down low. And pull your
wheel. Still to come here on Box to Row. Duke head football coach Manny Diaz. The HBCU National Players of the Week. First up, Johnson C. Smith quarterback Darius Ocean in the victory over Winston-Salem State completed 75% of his passes for 265 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions in the Golden Bulls' victory over the Rams. Also, Southern running back Kendrick Rimes, 17 carries, 133 yards, one touchdown, including the touchdown that sealed the deal for the Jaguars as the Jaguars defeated Alcorn State. You can learn more about both of these young men on our website at boxtorow.com. So the big news out of the NFL this week as the Chiefs trade for DeAndre Hopkins. So D-Hop now comes to the Kansas City Chiefs from the Titans. I think it's a conditional fifth round pick that could turn into a fourth round pick. Some of the salary to be picked up also. But this is a move that the Chiefs definitely needed. No Rashee Rice out for the rest of the season. So that's a big loss. Juju Smith-Schuster may not play this Sunday. He's got an injury certainly as well. And, you know, you look at Xavier Worthy. He's a speedster, but he's young, right? So, you know, look, this is a good move by the Chiefs. The Chiefs are undefeated. So it's not like, you know, when I think about the Chiefs, and I'm looking at the Chiefs right now, and I've watched several of the Chiefs games, it's all about winning the football games. And this is where I stand when it relates to, again, to the NFL and numbers and all of those things. I mean, those things are great for fantasy, for people that play fantasy football, and all of those great things, those that are really into the numbers. At the end of the day, did you win or not? And the Chiefs have not lost a football game. They haven't. The Chiefs haven't looked great offensively, but the defense has been very, very good. And you know the offense is going to come around. We saw this last year from the Chiefs. And so I think to be able to pick up a D-Hop, look, he may not be the D-Hop that played in Houston. He may not be that D-Hop, but he's a professional. At one time was known as one of the best, maybe perhaps the best wide receiver in the league. Certainly at one time, I think, you know, his time with Tennessee has really been wasted, mostly because of the lack of quarterback play, although I would say that he had a 1,000-yard season in 2023, just has not gotten off to the good start. Again, it's a lack, I think, of quarterback play. And then in between Houston and Tennessee, there was the time in Arizona when, you know, the first season was very productive, but the next two seasons, one in which, remember, he was suspended 6 games for a performance-enhancing drug issue. But look, I think him coming, meaning D-Hop, coming to the Chiefs, it's needed. You know, will it help to elevate this offense that hasn't been the offense that we've known for the Chiefs? I don't know how much it will elevate it, but with all of the injuries, this had an opportunity to be a really explosive offense before all of these injuries that have coupled, in particular, the wide receiver core. It really had an opportunity to be that way. And I think when you add a Hopkins, it's an opportunity for him as he's on the backside of a really outstanding career to possibly win a championship. Now, that's going to be hard because it was one thing for the Chiefs to repeat, but to win 3 in a row, I'm not sure about that. And I would also say this. I mean, I think it's a good move. You know, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. So it definitely is something I think the Chiefs need from an offensive perspective. But I'm going to tell you what. I really like the Baltimore Ravens are special, okay? The Ravens are special. You already had a Lamar Jackson who was special in of himself. You add now a Derrick Henry who has been absolutely dominating on pace right now. He's on pace. And, you know, we'll see what happens because even during his time, I go back to you talk about the Titans and I go back to his time with the Titans when the Titans were right there. Like the Titans were in the playoffs, making the playoffs. I think one year the Titans even went to the AFC Championship game. And a lot of that was because of the play of Derrick Henry. Now, you know, he's older, but he keeps himself in shape that it seems that that's not really going to impact him. You know, he is a running back, one wrong hit and everything could change. But with the way that the Ravens are playing right now with Derrick Henry, I like the Ravens. I think the Ravens are, you know, I think about the best teams in the league. Minnesota is a good team, definitely, but lost, you know, to the Lions. I mean, you could argue that the Lions are the best team in the league. You know, right there are the Packers, right? Like the Packers are really, really good. But I think the Ravens are the best team in the league. You always know you're going to have a really good defense with the Ravens. Now you add a Derrick Henry to the mix because think about this. Derrick Henry's a dominant running back, but let's go back even to last year. The Ravens still had the top rushing offense in the National Football League, just didn't have a home run hitter. And a part of that was, of course, because of Lamar Jackson and the way that he plays. But now, I mean, Jackson is absolutely on fire. He's unbelievable. You don't have to even run him, you know, as much. And so I you know, while I like the move for D-Hop, it to me, and again, the Chiefs beat the Ravens, okay? And the Ravens started the season off really, really slowly. But the Chiefs, at the end of the day, did beat the Ravens. But again, it was a toe. You could argue, you know, obviously the replay showed that Likely's toe was out of bounds. And it's no guarantee that the Ravens would have won that game anyway because it was a situation where it was a 7-point game. So, you know, I don't know. Do the Ravens in that situation go for two in the win? Do they go for the tie? We play for overtime. Who knows? The Ravens may not have won that game anyway. So I'm not going to sit here and say the Ravens would have won that game. I don't know that. But what I would say is that from the eye test and what I see right now, the Ravens are a better football team. When these two teams met in the AFC Championship game last year, I'm not sure if the Ravens were the better football team. I'm sure right now that the Ravens are the better football team. And again, you got that championship pedigree, certainly with Andy Reid and with Patrick Mahomes. So that makes a difference. But Harbaugh has won a Super Bowl, you know, but this iteration of the Ravens has only been to the AFC Championship game, while the Chiefs have taken two steps beyond that, or two steps, meaning won the AFC Championship game and then won the Super Bowl the last two seasons. So we'll see. But again, I like the D-Hop move. I just think that the Ravens are the better football team. But I think that these are the two teams from the AFC that we're going to see in a rematch in the AFC Championship game. Look, Jameis Winston's going to start for the Browns. You know, I didn't even realize that Jameis Winston was the third string quarterback. And remember, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I thought that Deshaun Watson, and by the way, that was really classless, I think, by the Cleveland Browns fans to boo Deshaun Watson when he got hurt. And he's obviously now with the Achilles out for the season. But I didn't even realize. I thought it was time to make a change. The Browns did not make the change. Now Watson is out for the season. His really career with the Browns and really overall could be in jeopardy right now. But I didn't realize Jameis Winston was the third string quarterback. He didn't get in. He got in after the second string guy went down. Now he's going to make the start against the Ravens on Sunday. So I'm interested. The Ravens are going to win that game, but I'm interested to see what Jameis Winston has left in the tank. And then look, Bryce Young, remember, talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Would Bryce Young ever get his opportunity in Carolina, specifically in Carolina, not to get another opportunity to be a starting quarterback, but to get that opportunity with the Carolina Panthers? Well, Andy Dalton was in a car accident with his family. Everybody was okay, but he has a sprained wrist. And so now Bryce Young gets the opportunity to start. Now, he got into the game against the Commanders last Sunday because it was a blowout, 40-7 by the Commanders. He got a little bit of time. I'm going to be interested to see what he's learned, because from what I saw, the couple of starts that Young did make, he just didn't look like he could play football, to be honest with you. You know, I watched him play last year. I thought he really came on towards the end of the season last year a little bit. He made some decent throws. You know, overall, if you look at his numbers, they weren't like awful for the totality of the season. Like, they weren't great, but they weren't awful. But, you know, he didn't necessarily have a lot of weapons. But look, I mean, at the end of the day, this guy was the number one pick going back a couple of years ago, and he just didn't look like he could play football. Forget about the receivers, whether the receivers were good or not. It wasn't a situation where he was running for his life. He was missing throws. He didn't look like he could play. Now he gets another opportunity, and I'm interested to see what he's going to do with that opportunity this week as he makes the start for the Panthers against the Denver Broncos. Listen, any thoughts on the National Football League, hit me up via X or Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. Up next here on the program, talking with Duke head football coach Manny Diaz.
Sit by myself.
This is your weekly edition of the HBCU Blitz, powered by Box2Row. I'm Donald Ware. First, I'm going to take you to Jackson, Mississippi for an important SWAC Eastern Division matchup between Jackson State and Florida A&M. We're going to pick things up in the first quarter with Jackson State leading 7-0 and Florida A&M looking to tie.
Here's the quick snap to Richardson from the shotgun. He goes deep down the near side. A man is open. That's Ace Cobb, who makes the catch. He's at the 20, 15, 10, and he will take it in for the touchdown.
Tied the game at 7 apiece, but the Tigers would immediately respond.
Kobe Morgan will hand to Mulligan up the middle. Mulligan knocks over a defender. He's gone. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jackson State. 54-yard run for Irv Mulligan, and JSU reclaims the lead.
14-7, but there were more fireworks in the first quarter as the Rattlers looked to respond.
Richardson, play action, has time, throwing towards the end zone. The catch is made for the touchdown.
From 34 yards, and just like that, the Rattlers tied the game at 14 apiece. We're going to move to late in the second quarter. The score now 17-14. Jackson State with the lead. Florida A&M looking to take its first lead of the game.
Richardson from the gun. Short drop. Fires in the end zone for Cobb. Touchdown.
From 8 yards, and the Rattlers led 21-17. The Tigers would get a field goal to pull to within 21-20. And with 3.5 remaining in the fourth quarter, looking to once again regain the lead.
Richardson from the shotgun takes the snap. Here's the pressure. He's hit by True Thompson. The ball is out. The ball is loose. It's picked up by Webb. He may take it in, and he does. Wow. Richardson was level, lost the football. Jackson State scores off the fumble, and this place is wild.
You can see why he is the Hall of Famer. Rob J on the JSU Sports Network. The Tigers would go on to defeat Florida A&M 35-21, remain undefeated in SWAC play. Now, to Washington, D.C., to Howard's homecoming, where the Bison were hosting the Tennessee State Tigers. Let's pick things up in the third quarter with Tennessee State leading 20-7, but Howard driving.
Hand off up the middle, spins into the end zone. Jarrett Hunter takes it 9 yards to pay dirt.
And the Bison closed the gap to 20-14, but Tennessee State would respond.
DJ Evans takes the opening of the kickoff at the goal line, runs it up the middle. He's open in the midfield to the 50, to the 40. It's a foot race to the 30, 20, 10. CJ Evans, touchdown, TSU.
My man, Greg Pogue, on the TSU Sports Radio Network, 99 yards as the Tigers would defeat the Bison 27-14. The Tigers are now 6-2 on the season. To Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for the matchup between Southern and Alcorn State.
They run the football here. It's a big run. 40, 30, 20, 10. And it's going to be
a touchdown.
Yeah.
The HBCU National Player of the Week, Jaguars running back Kendrick Rimes from 51 yards out with 2:42 remaining in the fourth quarter, sealed the deal as the Jaguars defeated Alcorn State 24-14 as the Jaguars now remain undefeated in SWAC play. And in LA,
second down, Rams creeping. They bring the blitz, trying to heat up the pocket. They hit Minshew, ball's loose, scooped up, Cam Curl down the right sideline. 10-5, touchdown LA! Kobe Durant knocked it out.
But Mr. Durant wasn't done.
Four-man rush, flag is down. Hoyt's in the backfield. Minshew makes a miss. Now versus there, the throw is intercepted left sideline at the 47 of Las Vegas. Kobe Durant takes it away.
The former South Carolina State star and HBCU All-American Kobe Durant with two takeaways in helping lead the Rams to the 20-15 victory over the Raiders. Those calls courtesy of ESPN LA 710 AM. Box to Row, the radio show, airs weekly on radio stations across the country as well as on Sirius XM. To find a station in your area that carries the program, visit boxtorow.com. Let's keep things moving here on the program. We're going to say hello to a gentleman in his first season as the head football coach of the Duke Blue Devils. I tell you what, Duke is off to the 6-1 start. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready to be upon week 9 of the college football season, and already Duke is bowl eligible at 6-1. Got a home tilt on Saturday against SMU. Manny Diaz is the head football coach of the Blue Devils, joins us here on the program. What's going on, Coach Diaz?
How you been? How's everything going?
Everything is going well. I got to start here. I don't know if I didn't know this or maybe didn't remember it. You were, in fact, the inventor of the turnover chain?
Well, it was our staff, defense staff. I'm going to give everybody the credit in that room as we were brainstorming, trying to find out something that would help us get more turnovers, and long live the turnover chain. It had a great life while it was a thing, and it served its purpose, and it'll forever live in college football lore.
Yeah, but it seems like the chains that all these different chains that the pro teams have and all that sort of came from that. Are you getting any residuals from that?
Not at all. terrible mistake. It is crazy. I mean, I was watching the NBA Finals, there's a guy behind the bench with a huge Celtics chain behind it. And it's just, you know, it is what it is. It's crazy what attaches to society.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Your thoughts, big win over Florida State on Friday. Your thoughts on the Blue Devils' performance?
Well, I'm proud of where we are right now. We have still not come close to playing our best game, which is, you know, what most coaches would probably say this time of year. But the guys have bought into what we're doing. They're playing. They're doing the things that make us hard to beat. Right. We're protecting the football. We're taking it away. We're playing great defense. making very few mental mistakes, and we're playing very hard, you know. So it's been a fun team to coach. And, you know, and the more games you win, the more, quote unquote, big games you get the right to play in.
No doubt about it. For you, and you mentioned how the team is playing to this point, what is it like being back? You know, you spent some time here in the Triangle at NC State. What is it like being back in the Triangle now as the head man of a program there at Duke?
We love it. You know, my wife, Stephanie, and I, we always loved our time here when we were at State. Kind of always felt like, for some reason, that we could see us that the coming back to the Triangle, you just don't ever control in this profession where you work, because it's all about timing and the opportunity, you know, opening up at the right time. And when this Duke job, you know, came open, it just felt like the perfect fit for us. And every day I've been here since, it's completely backed up that intuition.
Manny Diaz, in his first season as the head football coach at Duke, he joins us here on Box to Row on the program. I just want to kind of get your thoughts from a I got to go back to Florida State, though, just momentarily, because it was the last game, and we're going to talk a little bit more about SMU. I mean, to the point, not only was it a big win, right, but you only had 70 yards passing in this game and 110 yards rushing, which makes it, I mean, that's 180 yards of total offense, but you had some turnovers. That makes it, even to me, even more of a bigger win.
Yeah, we had to grind it out. We had to find a way. It wasn't easy. Florida State's very talented on defense, and we had some tough matchups. We lost, really played without two of our best matchups in the passing game. You know, Nicky Dalmolin, our tight end, we lost him, and Jordan Moore, our top receiver. We think he's one of the top receivers in the ACC, and he only played, you know, a handful of snaps in that game. So it was going to be tough on our quarterback, but what ultimately was a difference in the game is their quarterbacks turned the ball over and ours didn't. And, you know, once we were able to take a 2-touchdown lead midway through the second quarter, we believed in our defense, and our offense protected our defense. That's not always easy on the eye to watch, but it got the job done.
You mentioned the quarterback, Malik Murphy. I mean, you look at his numbers, 14 touchdowns to 5 interceptions through 7 games. He's having a pretty good season, at least from a statistical standpoint. Your thoughts on the way he's played so far this year?
Yeah, he's improving. You know, I mean, he's learning to become more inconsistent every week. You know, no quarterback wants to throw for, you know, 70 yards or whatever you mentioned it was, but every game has a different approach in terms of how you have to win it, right? And we did what it took to win the game last week. Now this game this week will be a very different plan on how to beat these guys, and every player has to know you've got to be able to adapt to what's best for the football team.
Manny Diaz is the head football coach at Duke. He joins us here on the program. Last time we talked with you, you were the head coach at Miami. Can you speak to how the job in Miami and then the subsequent job as the defensive coordinator at Penn State, where Penn State was ranked, I think, number 2 nationally, at least during your 2 years that you were there, helped you to where you are now and the success you're having at Duke?
Well, there's nothing, you know, there's no substitute for experience, right? And there's nothing in this profession that's like being a head coach. So no matter how many years you're a coordinator, you know, the first time you have a chance to be a head coach, the learning curve is going to be steep, right? And certainly I learned a lot in my time at Miami, even in just the difference between year one and year two. And ultimately it wasn't enough for the situation down there. And that's okay, because you learn from that the same way you learn from any loss in this sport. But I also know that there were some good things that we accomplished, you know, down there, and including winning 5 out of our last 6, which you tie that to winning 6 out of our first 7 here. That's a pretty good run to be on. And then the time at Penn State was important as well, you know, to get to work for a guy like James Franklin, who's won a ton of games. We won a ton of games those 2 years up there in Happy Valley. And it gives you a chance to kind of reset, refine your voice as a head coach, that if you do get an opportunity to do it again, that you know that you can do it better than you did the first time, which is, by the way, the same thing you would expect of a player, right? As players, more they play, the better they get. Coaches were no different. So, and then the ability to work at a great university with great support and to be able to put a great staff together, which is really the most important thing a head coach does. And so we've got great people here, and I think that's what the winning is a byproduct of.
You've been at some places, Florida State to start your career, where you're a graduate, of course, of Florida State. You look at Miami, you look at Texas also, and these are national programs that have won national championships. Is Duke a place where you can win a national championship?
It is. It absolutely is, because college football is completely flipped on its head right now, and it's changing, right? And you're seeing it. Who would have thought? Well, just think about it. If someone had told you 5 years ago that we live in a world where Vanderbilt beat Florida, Alabama, and Duke beat Florida State, you know, I don't know that people would have believed that to be true. But you know, you can reshape a roster in a hurry. And this place just has some outstanding things to sell. And the great thing is our players want to be here, and they want to be here for the right reasons. So we have a chance to build a team, you know, the old fashioned way. And that's hard, because not everybody right now really has, you know, there's a lot of collections of individuals, right? But we still believe this is a team sport, and teams win. And that's part of the attraction of Duke. And I think it attracts a lot of great recruits. We have the best recruiting class Duke's ever had in their history committed to us right now. And that's, it's not complicated. You stack great personnel, and pretty soon you have a great team. And that's our goal and mission right here.
Manny Diaz, the head football coach at Duke, joining us for a couple of more moments here on the program. Your thoughts on your upcoming opponent, SMU, who is ranked number 22 in the nation?
Well, you know, have a lot of respect professionally and personally for Rhett Lashley. You know, I consider him a friend. Not surprised at all at the success he's had there. You know, they were conference champions a year ago, so there's a standard and an expectation to win. And they've, you know, they've got a lot of great talent, because, you know, a lot of players that we had together when we were at Miami, that, so making the transition to a Power Four team, they already had Power Four players all over their roster. So it's not a surprise that they're off to a great start. With that said, I like our guys as well. I think it'll be a great game. I really do. I have a lot of respect for both teams and the way that they compete. And what we believe is, and if you're playing in this league, expect it to come down to the fourth quarter. Expect it to be a close game at the end. And we don't think this will be any different.
It would be a derelict of my duty not to ask you this question. As I look at your schedule, you beat Middle Tennessee, you beat North Carolina, you beat Florida State. You know, one may look at the schedule, still got Miami on the schedule, also NC State. One may look at the schedule and say, well, you may be on a bit of a revenge tour, whether it be a program, I mean, or an individual that you've worked with in the past. Do you look at it that way?
Well, it's not a revenge tour, but we can admit the ACC has a heck of a sense of humor, right? When the schedule came out, I mean, it's about everywhere I'd ever worked in one schedule. It's more of like a reunion tour. And that just means that you're getting old, because it just means that you've worked at a lot of different places, and that's okay. But the revenge is to me a poor motivation. Again, in this program, we just talk about us and our standard and that being enough. And so far, in 6 out of 7 games, it has been.
Last thought, and just doing the research, I think I may have asked you this before, but your father, Manny Diaz, a lot of success. He was the mayor of Miami at a time when he was needed, really turned that city around, from really what I was reading. How much of an inspiration has he, and he continues to be, for you?
Yeah, it was great. You know, he became mayor when I was actually at NC State. And he, you know, he served two terms. So it was 8 years. So really when I was at State, when I first became a defensive coordinator, and to be able to, you know, gain advice, wisdom from somebody who sits in the public eye, who has to make decisions or be accountable for decisions or times that really they may not even made themselves, you know, and that's, you're not always in control of everybody in your organization, but you are accountable for everybody in your organization. And no matter what, you've got to set the vision. You've got to look in the face of criticism, and you're going to be judged by people who really at times don't even know what's going on and how it's happening. But you have to stick to your ideals and beliefs and do what's right. So to have that role modeled, was great, just from a family standpoint, but certainly in terms of me being a football coach and helping me develop my career.
Manny Diaz, again, the head football coach of the Blue Devils, joining us here on the program. The Blue Devils are 6-1 on the season, a home tilt on Saturday against SMU. Coach Diaz, as always, appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Blue Devils.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I can't wait till next time.
We look forward to it, Coach Diaz. Manny Diaz, the head football coach of Duke, joining us here on the program's got Duke on the right track. You know, Mike Elko, the former head coach, didn't leave the cupboard bare, spent a couple of seasons at Duke before moving on as now the head football coach at Texas A&M. But you look at this schedule, a win at Northwestern, that's It's a good win, a solid win in overtime at a Big Ten school. The win over North Carolina a month ago, and then, of course, lost to Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's got a solid football team. Big win against Florida State, and now some of the tougher games ahead of it as it looks maybe towards playing in that ACC championship game. SMU comes into the conference for the first time this year. Fortunately, it's going to be a home game, but SMU is ranked number 22. Got Miami, NC State, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest ahead of it. But so far, so good for the Duke Blue Devils. We've got plenty more of Box to Row on the other side. Keep it locked.
On the way, it's more of From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Right here.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate, painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
BoxToRow.com is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs.
From the game of the week feature to interviews
to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered.
Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row?
BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls.
From the Press Box to Press Row
and BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Welcome back to Box to Row. In the last segment, joined by Duke head football coach Manny Diaz. If you've missed any part of that conversation, you can check it out beginning in a couple of days on the Box to Row YouTube channel, as well as on our website at BoxToRow.com. Look, NBA season, it's that time of year where all of the sports are, well, a majority of the sports are overlapping. I mean, we're not into college basketball as of yet, and you're not going to have a time when all of the sports and the main sports, I would say, overlap. You still have some time for college basketball, although we're what, maybe a couple of weeks away from the start of college basketball. But you've got college football, you've got the NBA, you've got the National Football League. So it's one of those, you know, hockey. So it's one of those deals where all of the sports are kind of coming together. And I'll tell you what, the NBA kicked off this week. It was really good to see the Lakers and specifically LeBron James, Bronny James being able to play together. I mean, that was special, something that LeBron James wanted. It happened. And so we'll see what happens moving forward. But again, for me, with respect to the Lakers, I think the key to the Lakers this year is going to be Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis played well for Team USA. He's just got to stay healthy. If Anthony Davis can stay healthy with LeBron James, even though James is up in age, he still can play, still can muscle himself to the basket, still can get the foul calls, still not even necessarily his scoring is going to be a good defender, maybe not as willing a defender as he once was. I mean, heck, he's 40, but at the end of the day, he's still excellent. So if you know, in the ancillary pieces around the Lakers come to play, I mean, I think this is a Lakers team that really has an opportunity to be in the mix when you're talking about the Western Conference. Now, I got to be honest with you. When I thought about, okay, who can come out of the West? I think Denver, you know, Denver had a bit of a down year last year, but let's not forget Denver's only a couple of years removed from winning the NBA championship. I think, you know, not having KCP was big, but you make the adjustment and that's still a team. When you talk about that team and you talk about the Joker, you talk about Murray, I mean, it's a team and then the pieces around them, as long as they can stay healthy. I mean, to me, I said coming into this season that I think that Denver's going to make it back to the NBA Finals. But wait a minute. Dallas is really, really good. Like, the, you know, Klay Thompson had a spectacular debut for the Mavericks on Thursday. And Luka just, you know, Luka is just Luka, fantastic player. Like, we didn't even really talk about Kyrie Irving. It's all of the pieces around. Like, to me, you add a Klay Thompson, and Dallas is the Dallas, along with Denver, is the definition of a true team. I think at this point, the Lakers are as well. You know, Golden State, you're not just, it's not like Phoenix, where I don't know. Like, is this the last hurrah for Kevin Durant? Beal just really hasn't worked out. I thought that that would be the team to beat last year. Not only what it that it wasn't the team to beat, it just was a almost a disastrous season. Now, it, you know, Phoenix made a run, no doubt about it, but throughout the entirety of last season, it just was not a good season for the Phoenix Suns at all. But, you know, upon further review, I don't know. Dallas, really the defending Western Conference champs, off to the good start. It was only one game into the season, but it's those pieces. You know, you've got P.J. Brown that's there. Like, it's those pieces that are around Luka, Kyrie, and now Klay Thompson. I think this is going to make for a very formidable Dallas team, and one that, again, can challenge. I mean, the Celtics are just off the charts. I mean, the Celtics, and again, we're early in the season, but I'm just saying, I mean, you're talking about a 23-point win over the Knicks, who a lot of people, including myself, think could be the contender to the Celtics for the Eastern Conference crown, okay, with the pieces that the Knicks have added. But again, you know, the Celtics have gelled, right? And then you add a Porzingis, and Porzingis hasn't even played, right? So I look at that and I'm like, okay, but man, the Celtics, and then beating, of course, the Wizards, who aren't a very good team at all, by 20 points and making it look easy. So the NBA back, excited for the NBA also. You know, I looked at the NFL schedule. Not a whole lot of really intriguing football games. You kick the week 8 season off with the Rams and the Vikings. Don't look now, but the Rams have won a couple of games in a row. You look at that, the NFC West, it's not great. The 49ers, you don't know what to make of the 49ers with all of the injuries. Brandon Ayuk just got paid. Now he's out for the season. Samuel is banged up. You know, CMC hasn't played. Christian McCaffrey, right? So it's a lot going on with the 49ers. The Seahawks are a solid football team, not a great football team. So the Rams are right back in that thing. Meanwhile, the Vikings have lost a couple of games in a row. The Vikings have lost some of their mojo, losing 2 straight games. And you know that NFC North is brutal. And I think the Bears have an opportunity to make another step, the next step, if you will, with a victory over the Commanders in Washington on Sunday. But look, I look at the schedule. Not a lot of intriguing football games this week in the National Football League. I mean, the Falcons and the Buccaneers. That's a solid game. It's an NFC South game. And one in which either one of these teams could win the NFC South. Both teams are playing decent football right now, right? Like the Cowboys and the 49ers. I mean, I guess it's kind of interesting. The Cowboys are always interesting coming off the bye. I talked about the 49ers. The 49ers need to get back on track, and what a way to get back on track at home against the Cowboys, who are not only reeling, but are injured. I mean, the Cowboys are injured right now. And the Cowboys, quite frankly, right now, not a very good football team either. Dak Prescott's not playing well, but it's not just him. There's no running game. The defense is getting gashed. The last time we saw the Cowboys, they were getting rolled to almost 50 points put on them by the Lions. The Lions, the last time we saw the Cowboys play. You've got the Giants and the Steelers. I mean, it's just not a very good week when you're talking about the National Football League. And then finally, week 9 of the HBCU football season, and you've got a couple of solid matchups, right? Like you've got Southern and Florida A&M, both teams coming off big wins last week, with Southern defeating Alcorn State, and then both teams coming off big games, I should say. Southern defeated Alcorn State. Florida A&M lost to Jackson State. So really, I think more of a pivotal game for Florida A&M, because right now, if you're Southern, you're 3-0 in that Western Division, and you've got a game up on Alcorn State. So even if you're Southern, you lose this game, Alcorn State is still, and let's say Alcorn State wins, so both teams have one loss. Yeah, but Southern still has the head-to-head advantage, right? And then none of the other teams in the West are necessarily playing good football. In the Western Division of the SWAC are playing good football right now. So I think this is a pivotal game. Florida A&M loses this game, I pretty much think Florida A&M is done in terms of the East and defending its HBCU national championship. Look, another sneaky game, right? The Magic City Classic in Birmingham with Alabama A&M and Alabama State. Now, Alabama State's dropped some games, not as good. The offense hasn't played well at all this season. Meanwhile, Alabama A&M, I don't know what to make of the Bulldogs right now. I think a win over Alabama State will show, okay. And remember, the game for Alabama A&M and Florida A&M has been moved to November 29th. So Alabama A&M has only played two conference games. Meanwhile, Alabama State's played 3-2-1. So look, that Eastern Division is still up in the air. Even though Jackson State is undefeated right now, the better games for Alabama State still ahead of it. The better games for Alabama A&M still ahead of it also. So this is a pivotal matchup in the Magic City Classic. It's obviously the Magic City Classic, so you're talking about in upwards of 70,000 fans there at Legion Field in Birmingham. But whereas maybe a couple of years ago, not necessarily a matchup that it's more for bragging rights than for the division, but especially with what Jackson State was doing going back a couple of years ago. But now that's a pivotal matchup, actually, for both of those football teams. We talked about the Johnson C. Smith and Winston-Salem State game, really big football game for both. A pivotal game, more so, I would say, for Winston-Salem State, who already has one loss, a win for the Rams. And now you're talking, even though the Rams and both Johnson C. Smith still have some tough games remaining, but now if you're Winston-Salem State, you're in the driver's seat, right? Along with Virginia Union, who I mean, look, Virginia Union should beat Bowie State. I mean, that's not a gimme, but Virginia Union definitely should beat Bowie State this week. I think that Morgan, North Carolina Central game is really the pivotal matchup in the MEAC as MEAC play begins this week. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Manny Diaz, the head football coach at Duke, for joining us today here on the program. For more information on Box to Row, log on to our website, boxtorow.com. One more time, I would like to welcome our newest affiliate and those listening to us in Bermuda on Hot 107.5 FM. Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. And always remember to support those that support Yo Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.
Always make the same mistakes, yeah. Always make the same mistakes, cause I'm back.